Welcome to the Salt Circle Podcast. Here's your host, Ben.
You thought I was going to say
Here's
something?
Your host.
No, I'm...
No. Ben?
No. Here's your... I'm Hank. Such an ugly word. Can I be like the... I don't know, different... Like, king? Can I be the king?
No.
Damn.
You could be the duke. Be a kick-ass duke.
The duke of the podcast. I'm the Duke. With me is the Earl. We're here to talk about Magic the Gathering. It's going to be a good time.
It's going to be a good time.
Specifically, EDH, a.k.a. Commander.
Yeah.
For those who don't
Elder
know.
Elder Dragon Highlander.
Elder Dragon Highlander. The best format.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I guess brief explanation of what it is and what's different about it, just in case. In normal Magic, you tend to have a 60-card deck, and you can have up to 4 of a kind of any card, except basic lands. You could have as many of those as you'd see fit for your deck. Yeah, that's...
And occasionally cards are restricted to one ofs, but that's rare.
Yeah, that's not in... Yeah. In Commander, you have 100 card decks. Well, rather, you have 99 cards plus one card that is your Commander, which has to be a legendary creature.
Or 98 plus two partner Commanders.
Yeah, they've recently started doing some stuff where you can... it's an ability called Partner... If both commanders have partner, they can be partner commanders. And you can't have 4 of a kind. You can have only one of each card, unless the card overwrites that. So
yeah.
I can think of 2 cards that have text that says you can have as many of this card in your deck as you want. So mm-hmm. that overwrites that.
Yeah. That term is singleton.
Singleton.
There have been other singleton formats before EDH, but EDH is by far the most popular out of any of those.
Yeah, there are also color restrictions. So cards all have color identities, whether it be monocolored, 2, 3, 4, or all 5, or colorless. And in Commander, whatever your commander is, the legendary creature, cards have to stay within those colors. So if your commander is red and white, you can't have green.
Yeah, and that is mostly just for casting costs, but it also counts just symbols on the card, because sometimes Magic cards are weird, and
yeah,
like,
there's some cost.
But if you're a commander deck, you don't worry about any of the other colors. You can't put any of them in your deck, and you can't produce that mana, even when stuff says produce color of any mana.
They changed that.
Did they?
I believe so. I believe very recently you can make any color mana.
There are situations where that could come up when you want to cast your opponent's stuff.
Yeah. So it's generally, there is that French Commander? It's 1v1. Generally, it's intended as a multiplayer format, free for all. Our minimum for enjoyment tends to be 3, and then I think anything like 8 is probably a hard maximum, and past that it's just an all day affair. Like,
yeah,
games are
just gonna take too long.
So that's a thing.
At this point, I think 1-on-1 is just for competitive EDH kind of stuff. Which is a different thing. Because the other thing about Commander is it was designed inherently as a casual format.
Yeah, it's a casual format, and it's kind of the draw to it, at least, well, for me and many others, is it's the format to do big, dumb things in. Like, there are so many things that you can do in Commander that just would not work in any other format. And there are things that can be partially viable. Someone built a deck that is literally just ladies looking to the left. And it's all the cards in the deck, all of the 100 cards, maybe minus lands, involve women who are looking left. And it's not a bad deck. Like, it functions. It can do things.
That's pretty great.
Yeah.
It's pretty special. So, yeah. So, people can take their decks in different ways. They'll just build particularly around the commander. They'll build in certain dumb themes. Like, you can build around specific mechanics trying to do stuff. Like, there's a lot of variety with which to do stuff. The other big appeal to it is that there's a ban list that's pretty long. But, like, basically all the cards of Magic's history are legal with big exceptions. So it's also like super appealing to the players who've just played Magic for a long time and just like, oh, all these cards are legal and I only need to have one of each of them. So I don't have, cause if you were playing real formats, you'd have to get four of stuff to be just hard with like splashy rares that get expensive or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There's that whole other appeal to it too.
And just, to explain the two names briefly, EDH, Elder Dragon Highlander, comes from old big dumb legendary creatures that were Elder Dragons, and there I forget how many there were. There were a handful.
There were five.
Okay. And that's where you get that. And then Highlander, there can be only one. I guess I don't actually know in full if this is referring to the singleton format or the fact that, like, you're all battling, there can only be one winner or whatever, even though it's Magic, so sometimes there's no winners or it's a draw.
The movie Highlander, which had the slogan, there can only be one.
Yeah, I know, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what...
Yeah, so, and originally the format was developed by Magic Gathering judges, like, in their off time, basically. Yeah. And then, the way it was originally conceived was that everyone would play just with one of the Elder Dragons as their commander.
Yeah.
Eventually, the rules were broken out into any legendary creature.
Did it pick up... Did Commander take precedence when it became like an official format slash product line? Or was that... I don't know when that came about. I think it's Commander is a little... It's to me, it's the less fun name. Like, do you guys want to play Commander? Do you guys want to play Elder Dragon Highlander? Like, one of those sounds clearly cooler. But if someone's just coming in, like, Commander is a lot more self-explanatory. You have a Commander.
Yeah, EDH is also... It's also weird because it's the only, like, major format that was developed by people who didn't work for... Wizards of the Coast, like, it's the biggest fan format, technically.
Yeah, and then became, like, an actual thing. Like, you can go out and buy, like, for ages, Magic has done their welcome decks or their intro decks, but you can't go out, I mean, very, very incredibly recently, there was a standard deck that you could go out and buy, but there's never been, like, really solid legacy deck or modern decks. They've existed kind of. Modern did, I think, but it was kind of trash. Commander deck, like, some of the Commander decks out of the box have been absurd.
Yeah, like, really fucking, really good. Like, yeah, so they started printing specifically Commander products of Commander decks that were pretty good, and they would print 56 new cards, I think, for each year. So yeah, they started having cards that would like specifically reference command stuff. So like it's gotten that big. Like there are like if like Mark Rosewater, who's kind of the public face of Magic, does polls on Twitter for stuff, and like he was doing polls on formats, and I think Commander came in second to Limited.
Yeah.
Like it beat Standard, which is crazy. I think overall it's probably not. Like, Standard's probably still more popular among casual fans, but among, like, serious Magic players, Commander has definitely completely taken off. And I know that the Commander product from last year sold, like, was one of Magic, like, they're one of their best-selling things.
I mean, it also
it's
had,
like, kind of taken over.
One of the most... No, last year was the partner thing, wasn't it?
No, last year was Tribal.
Right. Okay. I'm thinking of when they did
partners.
When they did the
partners was from
decks.
The year before. Yeah, yeah. So one of the thoughts is that this past year sold so well because the year before had been so successful and those decks had gotten all like worth there's been, way more money.
Yeah, there's been a lot of cases. Several of the... So for each deck, they'll do different things. Like we mentioned, it was tribal. I think the first... Not the first ever, but like the first modern Commander stuff. Like, I think 2014 mm-hmm. or whatever it was. They were all tricolor, I believe.
Yeah.
And then one, like the next one, they were all four color. And like some of these commanders, like one of the four color commanders is just absurd, and it's actually used in competitive, which in this format is crazy. Like if something is able to be competitive in Commander, that's kind of ridiculous because not much can do it. And then
I know one of the partners is definitely considered top tier too.
Yeah. But what happens is then, like, if the blue-black-green deck is really, really good, and then the red-white-blue deck is bad, stores will have 1,000 copies of the red-white-blue and the green-black-blue or whatever. People will buy the shit out of them, and then their price gets jacked up anyway. Which, I don't know, it's different than normal Magic cards because there's that secondary market, but even like stores will start selling them higher. Like with the popular decks at Target or something might go for $5 or $10 more than the other ones.
You can't buy the Commander product from last year at this point. It's just you can get the singles, but you can't buy the packs
not anymore. For reasonable prices.
Yeah, if you want to pay like $100 or something.
You can get them, but in the 2014 one, they accidentally printed a card that saw Legacy play.
Yeah,
True Name Nemesis. So a 30. What's the MRSP? It's like was there's it 30 or
35?
Yeah, and 35
is the MSRP.
And this card was worth like $55. So
yeah,
that was so an like, issue.
Yeah, that's one of the the things with the set is like they have. They want to reprint stuff, but if stuff gets too pricey, you can't reprint it because it's like, we'll fuck up the availability of anybody to buy this fucking thing because of scalpers or whatever, or people trying to make money off of it.
Yeah. And these, like the sealed products are definitely, they're meant to be starting points. And some of them, especially within their own little like sealed product void, like if you're playing them against each other, some of them perform very well. Like,
yeah,
they can even with fully tuned EDH decks, they can hang in there. They can do things. They won't get stomped out, but they're meant to be a starting point, and you can add things and make changes and do whatever. So it's a very good stepping stone. Like that's how I it's not how I heard about Commander, but that was my first experience. Was one of these. Arguably one of the better sealed Commander decks.
Which one was it?
I had, what's his name? Life Gain.
Oh, Aloro?
Aloro, yeah. And it was a fantastic time for everyone who wasn't, or who, everyone who was me, I guess.
Yeah, that's one of the, he was that's one good... of the ones I hear get shit-talked the most. Because it's, and the reason is because it's one of the first ones that dealt with Commander stuff, so he has a constant life gain even when he's in your command zone. Every turn you're gaining 2 life, and it's just like extra value that people can't deal with directly, which is also why people have complained about this past set, which kind of doubled down on that in a tribal way.
Yeah, and there's also, I think, I'm trying to think if there's one that's more notable than Command Tower, and I just don't think there is. Like, Command Tower is a card that it can tap for any mana color that is in your commander's color identity. What this means is that you can't use it in any other format at all. Like, it can be there, I guess, but it's not going to do anything.
Yeah, in Commander, it's the best land. In every other format, it's useless.
Yes. So it's like to that point where they feel comfortable printing cards that literally accepted Commander are just trash.
It's an auto include. The weird thing to me is that Sol Ring became such a staple of the format and is an auto include in all these decks. Because that card is also insane in that it's 1 mana for 2 mana every turn. It's just really good value. It's one of the best cards. in terms of ramp, and it's just like, you know, if you're playing this format, you're just playing with this. Mostly just to allow stuff to like get to your bigger stuff, because the fun of playing, part of the fun of playing Commander is playing big, dumb things you wouldn't get to play elsewhere.
No, it's...
So, like...
And I still, if you want to talk, I'm going to look up, I want to find, there was a very specific interaction that made me fall, like, I liked Commander. I was playing my first game. It was 1v1 with Crump. And it, like, we were both having a good time. Like, it was a completely different experience than playing normal Magic. And there was, I forget what it was. It was some spell that I played. And it's like, it involves you doing something. And then if you do it, your opponent can do it. And if they do it, you get to do it again. So I roll that out. And then Crump plays, like, I don't know what to call it, like a copy spell, but it copies it twice. And we just, you know, it's like 4 a.m, we're sitting there trying to figure this out and like laughing, because like we had never experienced, like we were playing casual kitchen table, like whatever Dragon's Maze packs we had at the time. So, like, this was fucking crazy. Like, we were just dying because it was so nuts compared to anything else we'd ever experienced in the game. And from that point, I'm like, this is it. This is the format. Like, this is fantastic, and this is my favorite thing in Magic now.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's pretty crazy. The thing that, so, my big, like, the bulk of my playing of Magic, probably, was in high school. We had a play group. I would get to school early. We would play before school started and at lunch every day of the school year, like for most of my time in high school. And we would play Chaos, which just people showed up with 60 card decks. Everyone was in the same game. Let's go. So when you start out at that, you're like, I'm going like, oh, I'm going to build this green deck. I have all my green rares in it. That I have, like, one of or whatever. And I'm just going to play that. And that's, like, what Commander, as a format, like, yes, that support, that's, like, into that idea, right? And it's, that's kind of what appeals to me about it. It's just, like, this free-for-all, we're just going to play your stuff you have that you like or whatever. And then, and go from there and stuff happens.
I mean, the fact that I built an art deck, I didn't look at how good the cards were. I just went, this is pretty. I'm putting it in my deck. And then followed color restrictions and whatever. That deck has won a couple of times. Like, I've just happened to, like, because there's so much. People also like it because it's a political game. Like, some people get really into the politics. You help me, I'll help you. I'm going to backstab you now. All this crazy stuff.
Yeah, like, you know. And that was the, was the, like, the whole appeal to me of playing, like, Chaos was the format we played.
Yeah.
So, like, and that's, like, I've never seen a codified version of that, or, like, another community, just, like, that was just the way we happened to play, it was convenient or whatever. But, like, so part of the appeal to EDH to me is just, like, that this has, like, support, like, that this is, like, a set format that people are playing, that it has, like, its own ban list. That's just super cool to me. That, like, no, there is just this, it's like bringing in all the casual players under like one roof and saying like, this is how we can do this. This is a way to embrace the fun of this kind of Magic of just playing your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's so cool.
Yeah, it's really good.
And I really hadn't gotten into it till you basically talked me into it for the most part. The similar thing I'd seen, like probably the most similar, was on Magic the Gathering Online. They did this format called Vanguard. And basically you would have a 100 card, I think it was a 100 card singleton deck. It might have been just regular 60 card decks too, but you had a special Vanguard card that would like had its own special abilities, was kind of like a planeswalker before planeswalkers exist, that was just set and would like your starting life total would be different, your starting hand size would be different based on like to balance it out against whatever weird abilities it had. And the best one of those was Momir. When you built a Momir deck, you would just have your deck was all basic lands, and you would tap an amount of mana, discard a card, and Momir would then that would cast a random creature of like the mana cost of the mana you spent into it.
Great.
So the format was Momir versus Momir, where you're just like, yep, I'm playing random creatures. Let's see who happens to win. And you could
that sounds pretty great though.
It was pretty, and they had like, you could like buy in to do tournaments, like it would be like playing poker, like single hands or whatever. Mm-hmm. It was pretty fun. Like this, and the strategy would be like where you would maybe skip a draw so you could get like from, because you would kind of tap out at 8, I think. But if you skipped on a specific turn, you could get up to casting 9 mana spells. So maybe that would be better, because like once you hit 9, then those creatures are kind of all better, all crazy.
Yeah.
So it was just a dumb, fun thing. But so when I first saw Commander, I was like, is this just Vanguard again? Like, this feels like that arc of Yu-Gi-Oh! Where they go into the video game and have their little monster behind them. It's alternate format rules. So I was like skeptical until like we played it, and then I was like, no, this is great.
Yes.
It's super good.
And I mean, it's something, I've really liked it. Part of the problem is finding people to play it with. Because you roll into the game store, like, most of the time, probably 2/3 or 1/3, depending on the day, will have a Commander deck. Like, there's plenty of people. But everyone is like, nah, I only got time for, like, a match of Standard or something, because the Commander game might last 20 minutes, or it might last, like, 3 hours. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, just, like, I could go weekly, I could play Commander whenever I want. The problem is that people here play Commander at a Taco Bell at, like, midnight. I don't want to do that for various reasons. So yeah.
There's also Commander, they also do have EDH supported on Magic Gathering Online, but that's its own weird thing of buying digital cards, and then you could play EDH against random people one-on-one, or try to find, you know, a group.
Doesn't and it maybe also like have
three of them will
list?
Disconnect. It has a slightly different, I think it has two ban lists. No, the thing was it had a separate ban list for one-on-one. I think it now has two different ban lists, one for one-on-one and one for group. And I think the group one is probably the same. But yeah, they had to change some stuff for one-on-one, because the official ban list doesn't care about one-on-one or competitive EDH. Mm. The rules committee does not give a fuck about competitive EDH.
No, not even close.
And I was listening to a podcast where one of the guys on the rules committee was on it, and he was like, look, I know all about competitive Magic. I'm a 5th-level judge. I know way more about competitive Magic than you do. That's not what this is. If you care about that, play a different format, was basically his thing.
Well, and even on their ban list as well, it doesn't say you're not allowed to play these cards. It's basically, we recommend not using these unless your playgroup is okay with it. Like, it's not a hard ban.
Yeah.
It's just that's also true. A suggested base for house rules.
Yeah, they also have guidelines for spirit of play type stuff, I think is pretty big.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I'm honestly like, theoretically, and I like just following those rules they set out, because I like that idea of being in the spirit of, like, if I met someone new who played this game, like, we wouldn't have to, like, to argue about anything or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
no, just, exactly.
I like the umbrella of that those rules and that ban list provides, of just saying you can just meet someone new, befriend them or whatever. You want to play some Commander. It onboards easy.
You do run, and you run into shit. Like, even like an hour playgroup, I don't think it's too bad. Or at least when stuff happens, it's usually like there's that self realization. Like, as an example, me and Hank are playing the other day, and I cast a spell that destroys everything. It basically sets, like, starts the game over.
Mm-hmm.
And within the Magic community, there are people on both sides of this, like, half of which will say, you never, ever do this unless you have a plan to win immediately after, because it makes the game go for way longer. It starts everyone over. It's annoying as fuck. Don't do it unless you can follow it up with something.
Yeah.
And there's the other half of the community, which is like, no, they're allowed to play whatever they want. Do it. Like, I don't care. It's EDH.
Yeah.
Or maybe you think this will help you long term. It doesn't matter if it takes 2 hours. If you win, then it's justified. And they're like, you absolutely have to deal with that. Like,
yeah.
When I did it, I'm like, yeah, that took a little bit longer, but I don't think I would ever do that in a game. I don't want my game to go for 4 hours past what it's already gone. But someone else at the table, if I'm playing in real life, someone else at the table might decide that, like, okay, we're doing this now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's like one of those things of, like, as I've played more and learned more, it's like learning what stuff. It's part of it's like getting stuff out of my system sometimes. Of like, I build some dumb combo deck, and I'm like, yeah, let's do this, and then I do it. I'm like, yeah, I probably never want to do that again. Mm-hmm. Like that's probably not actually as interesting to play as it was to build that deck. But so that's part of it. I feel like as I'm playing more Commander, I'm learning more about, like, not this is like I'm not focusing on, like, what's the best build, what's the best deck. It's like, what's the best kind of deck that's gonna lead to funner games? Like,
yeah,
what's gonna be, and what's gonna keep me interested or whatever.
And as we've talked about just off the podcast, how we play actually is a lot different than what people who play primarily physical with physical cards would be experiencing. Because we use Tabletop Simulator and a website to make all of our decks, price is not an issue. You make like a deck a day. You can download as many lists as you want. I could have 10,000 decks to choose from at any given point.
It's the equivalent of playing with, like, all proxies allowed, basically.
Yeah. In real life, people generally, you know, you have the people who drop cash and they'll have like 30 decks. But a lot of people, like, especially the casual players, they'll have their one deck and that's what they play. And again, I think more with casual players, but even serious groups, they'll have their decks, and then you get that, like, kind of personal, that kind of meta in a bubble forming, like, oh, this person's deck keeps winning. Now we're going to put stuff in our decks that kind of hate on that one a bit more. Well, then he has to adjust. And pretty soon you have this whole little, like, meta ecosystem going on.
You know, and if you have a healthy meta and not people who just go, that, I just hate that card, it's broken, and aren't proactive about beating it or whatever.
Yeah, there's definitely people who just, well, Sol Ring is fucking stupid. Okay, like, put in some artifact hate or something.
Like, why is your Brea deck always win? I don't know, maybe because you don't play Vandal Blast and destroy all artifacts.
And there is, so we don't really, like, just because of the nature of the way we play Commander, we don't have a lot of that, but I would say, like, for us and for the people we tend to play with, I've noticed we don't do counter spells that much. We have a very friendly atmosphere in that regard. There's not a whole lot of counters going on, like direct counters.
And well, we had that. Yeah, we had that one game where there were some endless counterspelling in lock into a game that just wouldn't end. So that was bad.
Yeah,
and we've overdone it sometimes on group hug decks, of decks that are just like facilitating, but also trying to be controlly, leading to games that also just don't end. Like, that's the other thing I'm trying to learn about being better about building decks that just aren't stalling the game without a plan, because having a plan ends up being, like, you don't want to be too aggressive and, like, just try to win on turn two or three or whatever, but not being able to win it all and just having ways to stall also isn't great, because that just means your game is just going to keep going without focus.
And that, so that's
a learning experience.
What's good is like, it was me and you. We each had those group hug decks, right?
Yeah,
and that took forever. What's important is that they
interacted badly.
What's important is that, well, for me, I was like, yeah, I'm just not doing this again. Like, this is not a style I enjoy playing, and also like, everyone else was miserable to some degree. Yeah. There are people out there who would be like, but my deck won, so I'm gonna do it. Yeah. Like, they will just do this. It's definitely a thing. I had a friend,
you know, who, and I've definitely learned about myself of like, the decks I like building aren't always going to be the decks I enjoy playing the most. It's just a thing I've learned about
for sure.
My tendencies as a deck builder and what I like end up honing in on in terms of specific card interactions. It's like,
yeah,
I like more variety, but when I'm building a deck, sometimes I get a little cut up on specific combos.
We also, there's also an element, I think, well, no, it definitely is more prevalent than in other formats of Magic because it's multiplayer. You have grudges that some people can just get way too into. Like, I don't think it's terrible for us. Like, I've definitely been guilty of, like, well, Hank fucking destroyed my whatever, so next game, doesn't matter who's in the lead, I'm taking Hank out. And then I lose because it's not good threat assessment. But there are people, I've seen so many stories, like, on Reddit and even some people in real life just, you know, talking about stuff. Like, someone destroys someone else's soul ring on turn two. Like, they have a naturalize or something. And then the person whose soul ring got destroyed just keeps fucking targeting the other person for years. Like, anytime they play, just, nope. Destroy this. Like, doesn't matter. I'm like, seriously? I don't know how you play with someone like that. It's just terrible.
Vengeance.
Some people get that way, man. It's crazy. Or like, I guess it kind of goes back to meta. Like, looking at a commander. Like, if someone sees that someone else has a Sliver commander, well, nope, not letting that happen. And then just everything gets countered. But, you know, sometimes you might play a Sliver commander without having slivers. If you want five colors, for example.
Yeah.
Some commanders just draw hate like that.
Some commanders definitely draw hate like that. Because one of the funny things about commander is just, it is that thing of like, if you're the aggressive player and you're just like, I can kill someone. Yeah, but can you kill everyone? Because if you can't kill, if you can only kill one person, you're probably going to lose immediately after doing that because you've like, you've fired off your stuff. You've spent your resources. So it creates weird situations of people not attacking. Like, combat, combat in EDH can get weird of people just like, yeah, I'll have a couple. I just want my creatures, so I'll just while I'm doing other stuff. I got stuff I'm working on in the back, but this is just for show.
Everyone is trying to put on a face to make it look like they're doing something, but then behind the scenes, trying to set up the real win con.
Yeah, so those can create weird games, particularly like, I've just noticed, like, when you're playing three person, and you're like, and I'll play it like a more aggressive deck, it's like, I'll try to attack, but then I just, like, run out of steam, and it's like, oh, well, I guess I'm here now. Just like, it's just not enough. It's like, I was, like, hoping for more stuff to happen before that, and just nothing does.
Yeah.
And you're just like, suddenly it's like, oh, well. Now people, I can do a bursty thing, but it's not enough to really impact the game because people haven't been taking enough damage from each other.
Mm-hmm. I know I guess it's something in any format, but I notice it especially in Commander, first off, because that's what I play, and second, because you have the multiple people. Like, learning when to not assume that someone is holding on to more than you think. Like, maybe if they have one card in hand and like almost you should attack sometimes. Like, you should just go balls out and attack.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. Like, it's, you're not playing for the fucking world championship. Like, you have a bunch of big shit on the field. Swing. Or you don't. Swing anyway. Maybe they'll buy your bluff. You got two blue mana open.
Yeah.
And you're swinging with something. But all you have is another island in your hand. Maybe they think it's not. You know, just, you bluff your way to victory. You ally your way to victory, or you do whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever you gotta do.
The other thing is, a lot of times, just because of organizing stuff, it's harder for us to get more than three people.
Mm-hmm.
And there are kinds of commander decks you might build that just three people isn't enough. Like, if you're building a more political deck, it's based on stuff happening, like, I need people to be able to, like, it just, the three person is, like, a minimum, and sometimes it's just like, oh, it's a 2-1 kind of thing will happen if someone gets out to a lead, or it's a 1-1 that someone else is sitting at, like, that stuff can also happen.
Yeah, and there's, I think when you have less people in a game, it might, what's the way to phrase this? It raises the bar for like a minimum power level to win, I think. Because if you have more people, you have more people who are going to be focusing on everything
else. People are spending their stuff or whatever.
Yeah, if you're dealing with, you know, 5 or 6 people, or like 5 other people, I guess, in an EDH mm-hmm. game, you have a lot to worry about. So the weaker deck has a better chance of maybe getting to slip in, though.
Or the deck that doesn't have answers to stuff, but can rely on other people answering it. Whereas when you have fewer people, if you don't have the board wipe,
and
the other person doesn't have the board wipe, you just both lose.
Yep. No, it's definitely a thing.
And it just gets, when you're trying to find a power level that's fun for you, but also you have access to, everyone has access to whatever cards they want. Finding the power levels of stuff is also an interesting problem that would be easier to solve if you played more often, but, you know, organizing can be hard.
I mean, not only power level that's like good for everyone, but just, I think, matching power level.
Yeah.
Like, some people refuse to lower their decks and, like, lower the power level in their deck. Like, yeah, it's great that you're using all this absurd stuff, but, like, the other three people you play with are using the pre-built decks and don't have all 10 original duels, 10 shocks, 10 fetches, and, like, a fucking Imperial Seal, which is, like, $600. Yeah. Like...
Mm-hmm.
You need to recognize that, but at the same time, some people also have the opposite problem. Like, I've encountered people who are like, yeah, I don't want to throw a Sol Ring in my deck. It's too expensive. They're like $5 now. Like, if you're playing Commander...
Less than that, maybe. Or three. Yeah.
If you're playing Commander consistently, like, with people, and you're enjoying it, like, $3 isn't that bad. Or trade for something. I don't know. But that's
definitely a thing. I mean, they come in every Commander product. You probably know someone who has extra, but...
Yeah.
If you're playing in person, seems like it'd be a thing.
So I have a Sliver deck, and it's actually one that I had in real life for a while. And, you know, I think at this point I've definitely played it more with you and maybe, like, Renoko and Kayed and stuff.
Yeah.
In tabletop. And what I got to notice through playing it more, my commander is a guy who can tutor for other creatures, which leads to a situation of what creatures do I need right now? Or if there's like no immediate need, what creatures would help me win the fastest? It turns out that leads to you picking the same handful of creatures each time and just throwing them out ASAP, which is boring as fuck.
Yeah, no, so that's eventually, the problem with tutors in general in EDH is the thing you realize is, like, when I have tutors in my deck is better because I can get the things I need more often at specific times, because you're playing singleton. It's like, what's the likelihood of drawing this one card in 100 unless I can go search for it? But it's also like, but then when I can get this card consistently, my deck has less variety and it plays the same more often. It's less fun, but more consistent. It's that. Yeah. It's a fact of the thing.
Yeah. And even, like, I don't know, just, I definitely toned down my deck. Like, I consciously, like, yeah, I'm going to take out this, and instead I'm going to put in this big dumb thing that's more fun.
Yeah.
And it's,
yeah, like,
it's
when you played your sliver deck, it was like, okay, he needs these specific slivers to be able to go infinite, so we have to either not let him get those slivers or kill him before he gets those slivers.
Yeah.
Like, it was like a... It became, because you could tutor every game, it becomes a like a clock on aggressiveness of people picking on you is a thing in EDH of just when people know how you're gonna win. And I kind of get around this by always playing different decks all the time because I'm still trying to figure out what I want. So like I'll play this weird combo deck and then I'll do the combo once and then I'll never play that deck again. Like, you could probably stop it, but I'm also, you know, like, the fun for me is done, so that's also a thing. Because I am on the hunt for a deck that I will like enough to build in real life, I would say, is where I'm at with Commander right now. Because I don't, the only Commander decks I have are, I bought a couple of the precons, but I haven't built an actual Commander deck. I bought the Ur-Dragon and the Cat deck from...
The last
release, because those are the two I saw at Target.
What were... Yeah, it was Vampires and then Wizards were the other two.
Yeah.
I kind of wish I would have bought the Cat deck, not going to lie.
I wish I bought the Vampire deck. The Vampire deck has, like, the card I want the most. It's, like, $70 or something now.
Yeah. I was going to ask...
Teferi's Protection is in that one, and that card is sick.
Were you lucky enough to pick up Atraxa?
No.
How much is it now, like 30 or something?
I mean, yeah. Those decks were off the market by the time I knew about Commander.
Yeah.
Pretty much. By the time I had enough interest to look at them.
Oh, yeah, okay. So one of the commanders for the pre-con decks that we're talking about, really good, four color, and was one that immediately, like, became competitive level, is now worth $26 from a pre-con that costs $30 or $35.
Yeah. It's not actually the best commander, but it's very good, and it's, like, more popular than it is good, probably. Like, it's... from what I've heard, it's, like, people will build bad Atraxa decks, but they just like Atraxa a whole lot.
Yeah, but it's also, like, it's really easy to make it absurd.
Yeah, and also, I think that pre-con was one of the strongest out of the box, also.
And,
but I don't know. A thing I've learned about Magic is the vast majority of Magic players, when they buy product, when they'll buy a set deck list, when they go to add cards to it, they will more often than not make it worse. That is for most Magic players, that is the go-to move, because they'll just, like, take out that spot removal that's boring, put in the big cards they like, the creatures they like.
I think also with this one, and this is something, I don't know how many combinations had this problem, if any. The one that we were talking about, Atraxa, is green, white, blue, and black. It was, like, the first legendary... It was the first commander that actually had those colors, I think.
Four color commanders were... There weren't four color legendaries. There were five color and three color, but there were no four color legendaries. That was why they did the double dip that year of the four color commanders and the partner commanders, I think. Because then the partner commanders, you could mix and match to get some different possibilities of the four colors you needed. But, like, they just hadn't printed cards like that before. They had printed a series called, like, the Nephilim at one point that were five four color creatures, but they weren't legendary.
Yeah,
like, think... like Like they've said, if they'd known Commander was going to be a thing, they would have made these legendary because they would have been good for Commander, but it just wasn't on their radar at that point.
Yeah, and that's definitely, like, there are I've talked to plenty of people, those come up as, yeah, in our group we allow those as commanders because they're basically legendary creatures. Like, they're good enough, their effects are good enough, they do enough things that they should be legendary.
If you're searching for commanders on EDH Rec, they will come up with, like, a big unofficial tag on them.
Yeah. There's a certain... certain card that I wish was legendary called Chromanticore. It's 5 color. You know why it's not legendary? Because they couldn't fit it on the line. Some of these cards are like, nah, it's not a legendary creature. It's just a creature. This one, they're like, fuck, we can't fit it. And then soon after, they somehow developed the technology to just put the text on smaller. So now they could have done it.
There have been advancements in Magic card printing technology.
But it also was Theros. It was like Theros block. It was like 4 years ago or 5 or whatever.
They're getting more and more bold about messing with card frames.
I mean, they're on the record as this. But still, goddamn. I'm very salty about it because I really wanted it as a commander.
You should be salty.
I am.
Whatever. The next time we play, I'll probably just say you should use it. Unless people object.
I like
what you've done of, like, having the alternate commander. Like, I actually like that idea of showing up, rolling in with, like, okay, this is the commander I want to use, but it's technically not legal. So here's my back. As long as you have your backup right there, that actually makes more sense to me.
I mean,
the more I've thought about it,
what I'm going to do is I'm going to be like, are you guys cool if I use this as a commander? And if they go, nah, we'd prefer you didn't, I'm gonna go, no take backsies, and then lay down Sliver Hive Lord because it has default indestructible, which is great for me. So I win either way. I am only mildly disappointed at using Sliver Hive Lord. Plus, I have it in foil in real life, so...
Nice.
It works.
I don't have Sliver Hive Lord in real life. Well, I do have two Sliver Queens, though.
Nice. I recently unloaded mine.
And I have a Sliver Overlord. The Tudor one.
Yeah. Yeah, that was my original... fella.
And I have a Sliver Overlord out on Magic Gathering Online, so I did build a 5-color commander deck on MTGO just to mess with the cards I happen to have on MTGO, because I've played that a lot over the years, mostly doing sealed and draft, because if you have to pay for cards, it softens the blow when you can always play your product for more product. You can always gamble it on your own play.
Yeah.
That takes the sting out a bit.
I don't know why. This is just making me think of like the couple of times that I played with random people.
Mm-hmm.
Or not, sometimes not random, but just like sometimes there'd be like, I don't know, there was a couple cases of, like, an online friend that I'd met for the first time in person, and then, like, you know, friends with them, meeting at a tournament. Mm-hmm. So, like, we played then, and a couple of times, like, at the local game store, like, people would come in and play some random games of Commander. And I don't know, like, it was definitely one of those cases where I was very obviously new. Like, the other two or three people at the table were obviously new. And then Guy comes down and just, like, yeah, I got a Super Friends deck. And, like, infinite Planeswalkers on turn, like, 4 or whatever. And then, I'm like, really? Like, yeah. I don't know why I just thought of that. I'm not, like, salty. I'm not even mad about it. I just don't get the mentality of, like, gonna fuck up those kids over there. Check this out.
I mean, Okay, I only get it from this perspective of depending on how often you play. Like, if you don't play often, I feel like I would be more likely to fall into that trap of figuring out my deck, making it just super good, just like working up, like tinkering, like in the toiling on it. But like, the more I play EDH, the literally the less I care about that.
Yeah. The once every 2 months you play, you better slam the fuck out of someone.
Exactly. You just wanna...
I actually do have a friend like that.
But also, it's also a thing of like, if you've played other formats of Magic, they're like competitive formats where you're trying to like do the stuff the fastest. So it's sort of like that can be just ingrained into you of like trying to do the good things, like trying to break stuff or whatever, do stuff fast.
Yeah.
So I also see it from that end.
And I guess now that you phrase it like that, like one of my friends, that's how he plays Commander. Like, he almost doesn't play Commander. Like, he buys and sells cards for a living, so he has a Commander deck that's worth like $10,000.
Yeah.
And is like perfectly fucking tuned. And one time I'm like, yo, do you want to play Commander? He's like, I don't play Commander for fun. I play Commander when I want to kick someone's ass and leave. I'm like, okay then. So like once or twice a year, he'll play Commander and win, and that's it. Like, he got his fix. I don't get that mentality at all. Like, for myself, yeah. I could never do that. But it's a format that allows that. Like, you could just have your big dumb thing and do it once in a great while and be an asshole.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it would be, all right, I'm going to win this game. All right, I'm done with that deck. I want to play again. Want to play an actual game. Yeah. Like, but, sometimes you want the power trip. Sometimes you want the power trip. But, like, I also like to play Magic the Gathering. So, which is how I look at this stuff of, like, with, like, land destruction and counter spells is, like, or just hate bear effects of stuff that's just like, you can't do this. It's like, that's good, but it also is like about not letting people play Magic. And
yeah, no, exactly.
You know what I kind of want to be doing is just playing Magic with people.
And that's, I had a friend who definitely did the, I pulled a legendary creature from a pack and I'm just going to throw whatever shit I have together and we're going to make a Commander deck.
Nice.
It so happened that the commander was whatever the hell his name is, Mono Blue, where whenever you cast an instant or sorcery, you get a Drake, like a 4/4 flyer, 2/2 flyer, whatever the hell it is, and just filled the deck with counter spells. Like, all of the bullshit. So I'm like trying to play my expensive-ass sliver deck and just losing hard. And like, we're laughing about how her, like, $10 deck or whatever is beating mine. I'm like, it's gonna beat any deck 1v1 because no one can do anything. But, you know.
Yeah.
No, I fully agree. And maybe that's why I don't play counters. I experienced that one too many times. I was like, yeah, nope. I'm just... Counters could get fucked. But I enjoy having, like, a mana drain.
Yeah.
Like, one counter in my deck because...
I think three is a decent number if you're playing like mono blue or playing a three color deck or something.
Yeah, that's fair. But for me, the feeling, the pleasure that is derived from top decking a counter spell, and then like, and this is a thing that happens. So I'll just have my crump anecdote for the episode. Maybe I guess technically my second one, but
yeah,
we're playing a game, board states. Just loaded. So much shit. My side, Crump side, other guy's side. It's just nuts. As happens late game. And I'm a little bit in the lead. I have enough slivers and whatever other bullshit to just barely start, like, killing whichever one of them off first. And, Crump decides that he's going to, you know, cast a board wipe. He's going to go in, and he had a plan to win. Like, if he can get this through, it's his game, 100%, no argument. I happen to have the one counter spell in my deck in my hand.
Nice.
and it feels so good. Because he knows that I have one counter spell. So I lay it down and he's like, I'm all fucking things.
And yeah, because that's where counter spells are fun, where it's like, but what if you didn't win the game?
Yeah, right now. Yeah, no, exactly.
It's not like it's not about preventing stuff from happening.
When it's
about saying
three and they're like Chromatic Lantern counter spell. Okay, I guess, fine, whatever.
Just counterspelling for value.
Yeah, I have it, so I'm gonna use it.
Like, then if they have 18... like Guile, where like anytime you counter a spell, you get to cast it.
Oh yeah.
It's like, yeah, that. Okay, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't get to play Magic.
So you know that's in. That's definitely up there with like.
Yeah.
Board wipes and everything. There's a time and a place, and there's probably a sweet spot.
Yeah, like my favorite Magic moment was when I stopped my friend from winning the game while he had infinite turns, because I had Glacial Chasm, which prevented me from taking damage, and he didn't have any other ways to kill me. That was fun. It's a memorable game of Magic.
Yep. I remember discussing that, because there are people who... I have infinite turns, or I have infinite mana, or I create infinite tokens, and technically, like, for anyone listening, according to the rules, you can't actually do infinite. Like, if you make tokens, you have to declare a number. It can be whatever number you choose, but you have to make a number.
Yeah, you demonstrate the loop, and then you do it over and over again. Or, if you're playing Magic Gathering Online, and you actually have to do it every time for every instance.
Yeah. But there are a lot of people who, I have infinite mana, and then they like start to shuffle their shit up like they won the game. Like, can you do anything with it? Like, what are you? You have one card in your hand. What are you sitting on?
It's actually much easier to get the weird, because one of the weird facts about Magic, it's kind of easier to get infinite mana than it is to get like, or indefinite mana or whatever, than it is to get like 20 mana or something, like a large number. Like, going indefinite is easier generally than just getting a large number. Mm-hmm. So it's not that hard. It's just you also have to have the card that lets you win when you do that or whatever. Like, there are cards, like, if you played one of the reasons one of the partner commanders, Thrasios, is a top tier commander is because he has an expensive ability that lets you draw a card for colorless mana. So if you have infinite mana with him, you just draw your whole deck. And then if you have infinite mana in your whole deck and you can't win, what are you doing?
Yeah, no, it's a...
Or but like, that's...
When people... My favorite is when people create all of the tokens. And they're like, well, yeah, infinite tokens. They like start acting like they won, getting ready to shuffle up. I'm like, wait. Do they have haste? Well, no.
Nope.
All right, well, pass the fucking turn. all is dust or something. Like,
yeah. You know. No, I think that's actually... I actually like that just because it's like... Like, we were playing the other day, and I was like, okay, there are all these dumb things I could do, but I'm going to do this dumb thing and then see if you can stop me. Just because that'll be more fun. Just like, this is on the board. This is your doom. It's staring you in the face. Go ahead. But, like, you don't... That's not winning.
No.
That's having a good turn. They're different things.
And I still couldn't win.
that's true. I did have...
I knew there were ways. It was too much land. It was too... You know, that's the way the cards go. But
yep.
I appreciated it. I was like, I know there's shit in here that if I just pull, like, it's good. We're fine. But I didn't get it. That's how it goes. I could add another 800 tutors, but...
Yeah.
Blah.
Yeah, because when you're playing, that was the time I, like, drew my whole deck. So, like, when you're in situations, like, with tutoring and drawing your whole deck, the other stuff I've learned is, like, it's... If I have to, like, think a long time for the optimal play, that's probably bad. Like, I've been more... I've done it a bunch just because I'm playing decks for the first time and I'm still trying to figure stuff out. But, like, ideally, you're not spending time on this. You're just, like... This seems good. Let's do this. Like, that seems like a better general way to play Commander, I think.
And see, that's what it definitely hit that way with my Sliver deck. Like, it just got to the point where every single instance of something, I'm like, yep, this is what I need, and then you get that thing. And then...
Yeah.
Comes in, and yeah, it gets kind of blah.
Yeah, like, I remember I had a way to kill a player, and you were playing your Sliver deck, and it's like, if you play the thing, you can do anything at instant speed, I have to kill you. Like, it just has to happen.
Yeah.
And then you did it, and I wasn't paying attention, it was... It was a dumb thing. We had to go back a turn, but
yeah, I recall that.
You got mad, and then I won the game anyway because nobody killed me, even though I had like 2 life.
That happens. Sweet. That fucking happens.
So that's one of the things I love about Commander, when you really have where you get knocked down, and then you're not a threat anymore, and people ignore you, and then you get to crawl your way back. Like that's the way you win Commander, is you just get ignored long enough to have enough to win. Mm-hmm. While like people who are just doing lots of stuff are like battling each other all out or whatever.
That was absolutely me, Crump, and one of his friends. Like, yeah. I had my Sliver deck, it was absurd. Crump had whatever deck, it was less absurd but still, you know, a fully realized deck. And his friend threw together like a mono black Erebos deck that wasn't really related to Erebos. It was just kind of, I'm going to do mono black things. I'm going to play vampires or whatever, demons.
Yeah.
And we just ignored him like the whole time because he did nothing. And then like 2.5 hours in, he's like, I do this thing. And just he won because we were both just ignoring him like idiots. And it was great.
And that's
like, it was fantastic.
Yeah. That's one of those things about like, ideally you have a play group and you play long enough to like know when you probably have to deal with that. Like, that guy's been sitting there for too long. He's probably dangerous now.
He's played a land each turn for the past 20 turns, and he still has 7 cards in his hand. Perhaps we should keep an eye on him.
Yeah. But, you know, that's one of those, like, it happens. And, that guy gets that one win, and then...
Yeah, no, like, I think that's the only time we ever played Commander. It was just a one-off thing. So, like, he has a 100% win rate.
Nice. Like, the problem is when, like, you have 2 decks that don't do anything, and then the third deck is, like, you're just like, oh, well, whoops. Nope. Stakes were made.
Yeah, and I've been on the other end of it. Like, people have ignored my Sliver deck because I've been, like, I happen to be mana screwed, but, you know... I was in the game store, Crump walked past, and I, like, lean back at him and show my hand. Like, once we hit 2 green, I'm good. And then I hit 2 green, and I won.
Yeah, and I feel like that's also definitely a thing that would be, like, if I played more fun to play with, is the idea of, like, building decks that don't look scary, but are scary. Are scary, like... Because your commander dictates so much of, like, what initial impressions of your deck is going to be. So, like, if you're playing really good commanders, people are like, all right, I know the thing you want to do. If you play a nothing burger commander, people don't know what your deck wants to do at that point.
Yeah. No, there's... And, I mean, there's 2 different ways to go about that. Like, the first way is, oh, I'm going to play... stupid nothing commander that's dumb, and then the rest of the deck is absurd.
Or you build a thematic deck that actually happens to be really good, like you were talking about with the ladies facing left.
Yeah, or like everybody realizes just how many good ladies are facing left.
Exactly.
Or someone else had one recently. I saw on Reddit, called it like sitting pretty. It's just ladies sitting down. It's apparently also pretty good. I love that shit, though. Like, that's what... I think seeing ladies facing left, like, that's what made me... I was like, I could do, like, an art-themed thing like that. And then I'm like, I just kind of want to do a good art deck. I just want to do a pretty deck. And then I did it, and it, you know.
Yeah, I've been trying to get myself to build a thematic deck that's not about a mechanic, but I'm just so mechanical focused with Magic, it's been hard.
Just only use vanilla creatures.
I mean, that was technically what my bear deck started as.
I mean, yeah. I actually had, this is off topic of Commander, I guess, but related to that, in the Ixalan, Rivals of Ixalan? One of them. Pre-release or draft.
Rivals is the second one.
Yeah. I forget. No, I think it was at a draft. Post-Rivals at a draft. Mm-hmm. I was just playing and, like, some dude, one of my friends walked by and I happened to only have, like, vanilla creatures on the battlefield, and the other person just had tons of crazy shit that did anything and everything. And my friend walks past and he looks at my board and he's like, this guy's playing Magic. Vanillas across the board. I respect it. I'm like, yeah, I guess. Like, it's the purest form.
Pure.
I lost hard and then went to the bar. That's how that ended. So it felt like Commander anyway.
Yeah, I was listening. I was listening to, I think on the last episode of the Command Zone podcast, say quality podcast about Commander that I like. Mm-hmm. They just offhandedly mentioned someone who had a bear deck. It's just like, yeah, and his deck. It's like he just wants to win with Grizzly Bear. It's just like nothing else matters. Just he's Grizzly Bear wants to win with it. Like. Nothing burger cart, like 2 mana, 2/2, most yeah. basic thing. My bear deck has got kind of out of control. Lost
it really
my,
has.
My desire to do stuff is too strong.
Hank's bear deck is a shining example of what EDH is. He started out just wanted to attack with bears, and now the bears fly. And you can throw other things into the air and then kill them with bears. Or you can
it's mostly
bears and pull things down.
Predator flagship. It's mostly just Predator flagship is really good.
His bears are flying ships. They're carrying banners. They're doing all this crazy. It's Barry EDH-esque.
Still, I can play that deck and it doesn't do anything. Sometimes
that's true.
It has to be able to sit there long enough for me to get like the cards. The problem that I have with how I have that deck built specifically is that I start tutoring for these specific like three creatures that aren't bears to win. That like
I mean, he's saying that sometimes it doesn't do anything, but I have several vivid recollections of him having like 2,000 bears on the table.
So that was amazing.
Like
when that bear deck goes off, it was the best. It was my favorite.
One turn he had like 6 bears, and then the next turn it was infinite bears, and then like okay.
Look, Slate of Ancestry plus Words of Wilding. Plus Gaia's Cradle.
Yeah.
Is very good. The other problem with that bear deck is that it relied on Gaia's Cradle, which is way too expensive and I don't have one.
Yeah.
But Growing Rites of Itlamok, functional reprint, I could potentially build that deck now. Which is I've also been thinking about. But I do want to get it to a point where I'm not relying on these creatures that aren't bears so much.
Mm-hmm.
The part where I always like I'm always tutoring for the same creature that's not a bear is I think the part of it that bothers me the most about how that deck is currently built.
Yeah,
it's a the problem is I just like the card I get. I just love that card. It's one of my favorite cards, so I don't feel as bad about it. But
what are you?
But I think that's
when Power Creep takes over and we get a 2/2 for one. Or
I mean, those exist.
Do they? I can't.
In white. Yeah.
I guess. Yeah. In
it's white. It's a like that's like a white thing. Or they usually have some downside.
Yeah.
Like
there's just a vanilla 2/2 for one.
Vanilla 2/2 for one is I think it might be legendary.
That sounds right. It's too good. I mean,
yeah.
All in all, though.
Yeah, that's, that sounds like a podcast.
Yeah, that,
I was gonna do Dominaria stuff also, but I think we've gone long enough already on this episode. We can do that some other time.
Yep. It was good times though. Yeah. I don't know. That one really flew by.
I'm super into Magic and specifically Commander right now.
Commander's like, fucking dope. Like, if I had a shitload of money to blow, I know what I'd do with it.
I mean, I've just been theory crafting deck after deck. Like, it's just all I want to do. Like, I haven't been playing video games at all. I've just been, if I have free time to myself, I'm just brewing decks.
Well, that's because there's so many. I actually, like, my dream, and it's like, it's kind of stupid for real life, I guess. And I could do it just digitally for now. And then if I ever have reason to in physical cards, I could do it, is the 32 challenge. Where you have one deck of every color and color combination. So, I mean, that appeals. It's like, it's wide enough that it's awesome because there's so much you can do, but it's also just restricted enough where it's like, I'm not doubling down on anything.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to have one deck of each. And like, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, that's...
Yeah, I think I was listening to someone on a podcast talk who hadn't like branched out into... three color decks yet or something, because once he built one, he was gonna build all of them.
Oh no.
just the kind of person he was. He realized once he went into a thing, it was gonna go in hard. It's all or nothing.
Oh yeah.
It's not generally not how I roll. I can't do it. I don't have the
that's fair.
Domino strength. But yeah, EDH is just the kind of thing like I've had a deck that's just like, it's the deck that prevented that infinite turn combo. That's like my pet deck. That's like, it's not fucking legal in any format, but it's just a thing I like, and it uses a bunch of broken cards in really inefficient ways. And it's just like, now I don't care as much about that deck, because now there's a format where that kind of thing is like just supported. So I'm like super into that. I'm just like so into Commander, and I just like. Right now, really, my focus is deck until I settle on one that's I'm going to buy. So I've also been looking at limiting price on stuff I'm building, even though it's tapped out and I could do whatever, just because I'm only using the super expensive cards if I already own them.
That's fair. I mean, I do have, like, my recent deck, kind of, I don't know, it's my deck that I'm really into right now, my enchantment deck.
Yeah.
Like, I definitely have my list for playing with, playing on tabletop, and then I have I have it actually built, so I have that real list, because I don't have thousands into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair. And
it's surprisingly similar, except for the land base, it is roughly the same deck.
Yeah, there's also, like, things in me of, like, I mean, I own a Mana Crypt, but do I actually want to keep that in my EDH deck? It's like the thing I do, like a
yes.
Like there, I do. Yeah, I mean it's in that my other pet deck. So
hook me up with one of your soul rings, though. Please, you can sign it.
I have two. Okay, well, I'll give you one of the ones from the Commander product. I'm not giving you one of my unlimited ones. I have two of those.
I had a beta one for a while.
I think mines are unlimited, because I think those were the cheapest.
Mm-hmm.
It's not super pricey card.
For those who haven't heard me mention it, my Sliver deck was, among being ridiculous, it was an investment deck of sorts. Not in that I was holding it super long term, but I balled out on basically every card, and at the end of it, it was worth like $3,000 to $4,000, a little bit more, give or take, changing card prices. I mean, I don't think I made much money on it, but I have like so far continued to break even on it. So,
yeah. Like, I mean, the problem with those,
that was kind of the point.
Yeah. Problem with those revised soul rings is their white border, though.
I mean, yeah.
So they're obviously garbage.
But there's depends on who you talk to.
There are people who also will only I'm gonna build a commander deck only with white border cards. They have to be white border. If they don't exist in white border, I'm not using them.
A deck of all old card frames, if I were building a deck in real life, would be a thing I might think about. I highly gravitate towards the newest card frames when putting stuff on tabletop, just because of readability.
Oh yeah, yep.
Like particularly when you're looking at them on a computer, the new cards read way better. Yeah. Even though I liked the old font they used to use more, where H's were always lowercase, just in that typeface. I like that quirk. The newer frames are just easier to read, and yeah. I get mad whenever it's also like surprising like how many cards they've put in those new borders. Like some of them are only digital, like they did like for Tempest Stronghold, Exodus block. Yep. They did remastered versions on MTGO with the new borders.
They look nice.
They look so good, and I'm glad that the Frogtown that we use can pull in those images, because those are super good. There's some things it doesn't pull in, but those it does.
Yeah, we've digressed.
Yes, I mean we talked about more magic. Fuck
yeah.
It's gonna end the podcast. Oh no. Whoops. It's like someone played a counterspell and we didn't win.
We took an extra turn. No, we we could have what the hell is
Final Charizard?
Fortune. Do a sub I mean, podcast.
That was part of the plan, I think, but I'm forgoing that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna counter that Charizard or whatever. No sub game. All right. You can email us at saltcirclepodcast@gmail.com. Find us on soundcloud.com/saltcircle, on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, all your various podcast feeds that pull from those sources as Salt Circle Podcast. We're on Twitter at Salt Circle Pod, and I'm on Twitter at Comic Panels.
I am on Twitter at Bean_LP. If anyone listening wants to play some fucking Commander, hit us up.
Yeah, all you have to have
is trouble. We have so much trouble finding a third. Yeah, all you need is tabletop sim.
All you need is tabletop simulator, and just play with us.
You're golden.
It'll be fun. It'll be good times.
Tabletop. That's all it takes.
Just want to play Magic and have fun.
We're willing to teach. If you never played Magic, you want to get in. It's a bit of a weird format to start with, but I don't know.
Totally. I have seen Ben give someone the wrong deck with which to teach them. Just overcomplicated. But
it was definitely.
I have. Now that I'm more familiar with the format, I would say I have a better idea about how to help along in the teaching process. So I think we could do a better job than when we tried to teach Paul.
Sorry, we failed you. much like Yoda failed Anakin.
You know, I think for new players, I would say decks that don't have so much instant stuff would be where I would start. Just straight face smash in Magic.
Alternatively, if you've been fixing for some Magic and don't know where to, you know, no good game store or friend group or whatever, like, also hit us up. New experienced, whatever. We're down.
Yeah, new.
We just want to play Magic.
I'll play Magic against you on Magic Gathering Online if someone has a Magic Gathering Online account.
I absolutely won't, because I don't have Magic
Online. And, you know, Arena's going to be a thing soon, so that'll be a...
Arena will be a thing soon.
That'll be a thing. All right. That's a podcast.
That's a podcast.